Thy journey, we come to this story, one of the resurrection appearances of Jesus that we find only in the Gospel of John. It takes place after they have seen him, but not quite been ready to believe and been afraid at what was happening to them. And we've had the story of Thomas and his questions. And now we hear the story of Jesus appearing to seven of his disciples on the shores of Galilee. Join with me in prayer. Send, O Lord, your Spirit upon us all, and silence in us any voice but your own, that in hearing your word we may become your glad and faithful people. In the name of Jesus Christ we ask it. Amen. Hear the word of God. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the Twin, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." And he said, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them, and though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It had been a long and fruitless night. The silent hours had crawled by, unbroken but for the usual sounds, the mournful creaks of the boat, the soothing sighs of the waves as they fizzed into the sandy shore, the repetitious splash of the fishing net as it hit the water, the shrill cry of the seagulls mingled with an occasional voice as the weary men called out to one another, "Caught anything yet?" "No, nothing." The sky and sea blended together in an undefined shroud of black, pierced only by the sharp points of starlight above and the flickering, smoking torches on the boat below. Maneuvering around the deck, the men discovered they were a little rusty at this fishing gig. Only three of them had been professional fishermen to begin with, and it had been several years since they had practiced this vocation. Their minds were still reeling from the events of the past weeks, which had been a combination of joy and then horror and then exultation and then defeat and then fear and confusion, all tangled together. The consuming darkness of the night and the damp, chilly air only intensified the muddled minds of the men on board. For try as hard as they could, they had yet to catch any fish. They were hungry, and the dawn would soon be upon them. And then what? Fingers of sunlight peeled back the shroud of night, heralding the beginning of a new day as the sun rose from slumber, putting an end to that eternal night. The men noticed a solitary figure on the shore like a mirage rising out of the mist and shadows. "Caught anything, boys?" he called out, and they replied no, they had not. And he offered a word of advice: try again on the right side of the boat. Without even questioning the man, they cast their nets one last time, and as they drew the net from the water, the heaviness of it startled them. There were fish in that net. Such an abundance of fish, in fact, that even with all seven of them giving their best effort, they could not pull the nets into the boat. With a sudden exclamation, John cried, "It is the Lord," prompting Peter to replicate his chicken of the sea routine back when he had thought he could walk on water, but instead sank like the rock he was named for. This time, in an endearing moment of modesty, Peter throws on some clothes before jumping into the water and splashing to shore. It is Peter's renewal of baptism. The remaining men drag the overloaded fishing net and park the boat on the shore. They are greeted by the warmth of a crackling fire, the tantalizing smells of cooked fish and fresh bread. Oh, they are hungry, ravenous, and not just for food. They have been starving for one more chance to sit with their beloved Lord, to hear his voice and soak up his presence, just like the old days when he explained to them who he was and what he was about in the world. Oh, they have missed him. Missed gathering together like this, breaking bread with Jesus. And as they break the bread that morning, their own broken hearts start to mend, and it feels wonderful. "Come and be fed," Jesus says, and they bring more fish and they gather around that warm fire. They don't have to ask who he is. They know. They know without a shadow of a doubt, for who else has ever fed them this way? It's no skimpy meal. Jesus does not greet them with a tin of sardines and some soda crackers. He goes all out. Fish over a charcoal fire, bread fresh and warm, overflowing abundance. There is no end to the feast until they are full of food and conversation and joy. And as they gather at that fire in the presence of their risen Lord, they remember. They remember that first public display of Jesus back at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, where he turned ordinary wine into an unending supply of the very best wine. No box Zinfandel for Jesus, no way. And here they are back in Galilee. Jesus' first and last abundant and joyful miracles, like bookends, taking place in Galilee. I mean, what are the chances? They remember that time on the hillside in the early days of following Jesus when thousands of people came to hear him preach and then didn't know when to go home. How are we going to feed these people? They'd ask Jesus, and his reply surprised them. You feed them. And so they had taken what little they had, a few fish, a couple loaves of bread, and in the presence of Jesus, that paltry picnic turned into a feast, overflowing abundance. They remember the Passover supper just a short time ago and yet a lifetime, that night when all hell broke loose. Jesus had washed their feet and broken bread and filled them with food and kindness and words, everything he needed to do and say while he still had time. They had feasted and been filled, overflowing abundance. Overflowing abundance from beginning to end. Overflowing abundance forever. That's the way Jesus feeds us. Overflowing abundance. Always. After Greg and I were married at my home church in Southern California nearly 31 years ago, we splurged and spent one night in a fancy hotel in Los Angeles before heading north to Yosemite for a week. Now, we are not known for staying in fancy hotels. Just ask our kids. They'll be glad to tell you a few stories. But hey, if you're going to stay at a nice place, why not after your wedding? The hotel offered what they referred to as a sumptuous brunch as part of the package, and being the cheapskates we are and were and ever shall be, world without end, we thought this sounded grand. We could stuff ourselves and then drive all day without paying for another meal. So we were quite surprised when we arrived at the dining room and found rolls and toast and muffins and nothing else. Sumptuous brunch indeed. Big disappointment, more like it. But it was our meal, so we made the best of it and stuffed ourselves to the gills with rolls and toast and muffins till we couldn't manage even one more bite. As we rounded the corner of the dining room on our way out, there it was! A sumptuous buffet. Eggs and potatoes and chicken and roast beef and ham and fish and fruit and salads and desserts of every kind. The tables were groaning under the weight of all that food. And all we could do was groan at our foolishness, at having looked no further than the table of rolls and toast and muffins. And had we investigated further, or bothered to ask the waitress if there was more, we would have enjoyed a marvelous meal that probably could have lasted us all the way to Yosemite and back again. But we missed it. We missed it because we weren't paying attention. If ever I was tempted to stuff my pockets with chicken wings and chocolate cake, I was right there and then, but I didn't. Jesus spreads before us a sumptuous feast, a buffet of grace and mercy and love and forgiveness and life, overflowing abundance, ours for the taking, ours for the receiving. God is a God of abundance, not a God of scarcity, writes Henry Nouwen. God doesn't give us just enough. God gives us more than enough, more bread and fish than we can eat, more love than we dared ask for. God is a generous giver, but we can only see and enjoy God's generosity when we love God with all our hearts, minds, and strength. What God truly wants to give us is life, and life in abundance. You are invited today and every day to the Last Supper, the first breakfast, the renewal of baptism, the eternal feast. So come and let the waters of baptism splash over your spirit. Come and fill yourself with grace. Come and feast on a spirit of new life. Come and be fed. Overflowing abundance. More than enough to go around. For our closing prayer, I'd like to use the prayer that Jean Foley wrote that's in your bulletin insert this morning, the prayer for guidance. Let's join together in prayer. Guide me, O God of abundance, during the times when nothing seems to be going right, when nothing is working, no matter how hard I try, when I throw out my net and it keeps coming back empty. Help me to remember today that you are here for me, ready to fill my empty net and provide me with nourishment through my difficult days. And let all God's people say, Amen. Invite